Okay, I'm gonna do that again.
It's a shame.
I'm gonna have a piece of this donut because it's sitting here. Oh my god, you burned it.
Good acting.
Yeah. I'm eating the burnt part.
It's good, right? I think my favorite flavor is burnt.
Burnt is good. I was brought up on burnt though, so. I know.
Wait, I think that might be my new t-shirt that I make.
I was brought up
on burnt. Hi everyone, it's Ted and Jenna, the real life Matilda and Miss Honey. It's time for the donut of the day. So right here is from Duck Donuts in Middletown, New Jersey. I love Duck Donuts.
I don't know that place.
Well, now you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to try this. This is the French toast donut. I heated them up in the oven and burnt them. But this kind of is like the new way, honestly.
It's very good.
Honestly, the burn adds a great crunch.
It does add a great crunch. French toast.
It's maple-y too, but this is a cake base.
Mm.
They don't do yeast there.
Okay.
Only cake, and they were so backed up yesterday when I went. Such a long.
Because Purple Glaze is closed.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have to drive all the way up 35. I was gonna make coffee, but then I was too depressed to make it. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But we're on the up and up now. Had a weird start
delicious,
this
delicious morning.
Okay, good. I'm glad I redeemed myself. Today's episode of Why I Failed Your Class is titled College. Ted, I think a big reason I didn't do a lot of work back in the day, back in high school, there was no end goal for me as far as college. And I didn't know or care about it at all. In my schema, I thought college was the most unattainable thing. When I heard college, I heard like unnecessary and debt, which, hey, okay, maybe I still hear that when I think college, but I did go to college, disclaimer, like spoiler alert, I went to college. But I didn't even understand, I don't know what I was working towards. So my family, we didn't have an emphasis on college, which I'm sort of thankful for. We didn't exactly have an emphasis on grades, and there's probably a lot of reasons why, but the kosher reason I say is that my parents didn't need college. They both did trades.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of like that they weren't like staunch, oh my God, this is the way. Because if I knew that if I didn't go to college and I decided to go to like trade school, it wouldn't be like hullabaloo. You know?
Mm.
Or if I was like, I'm just moving away and gonna work in a restaurant, like that probably wouldn't have cared. Like they wouldn't have been like, I don't know. Cause in the town that you teach in and I grew up in, that is not common. Everyone cares about college, wouldn't you say?
That's true. Not a lot of the kids that I teach, but when I was teaching your class, the freshmen, definitely we were supposed to, aim you towards college. That was kind of our goal.
Mm.
And
people were thinking about college, like, in middle school, elementary school. I was never one of those kids who, like, had that dream of, like...
And I don't really think that college has to be for everybody, though. I never did think that,
No, that's actually one of my questions. Do you think college is for everyone? I don't.
No. I think that you have to have it in your mind that that's something you want. Can't be for somebody else. And even though sometimes, though, your parents might plant that in your mind and then you don't want it. But later on you say, you know what? Maybe I do want this. You come back to it. But it has to be a decision on your own. And I tell my students that all the time. I say, look, take a couple years off. Take a year off. Take a couple years off. Whatever you have to do to figure it out. But if you keep it in the back of your mind that you think college will help make life easier, when you get to a difficult point in your life, you can say, you know what? Now it's time to go to college.
Mm.
I think.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do you feel about the gap year?
The gap year, for me, it was... I think it's a great thing, gap year. I don't know. It depends. There's no shoulds. You really have to listen to your heart and do what makes you happy, you know? And you have to have that experience. Go out there into the world and see how tough it is and what kind of jobs you can get without going to college. Some people flourish. You know, if you don't like sitting in a classroom, doesn't mean there's something wrong with you, really. What does a classroom ask you to do? Oh, my God. Sit in the chair looking forward and listening to somebody talk? I mean, somebody who's supposed to know everything, but we don't, because we're just there to guide. I think we're here there to guide you. We're not supposed to be gods, basically, and that we have to work with the students.
I agree. And not, like, stifle us in, like, oh, you would never make it as a bleep. You would never blah, 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 or just, like, letting the scores and the numbers equate to value and potential.
Then you have the other side. Yeah, you have the other side. You have students who need to be pushed and who want to be pushed.
Okay.
So you kind of have to know that, too, you know?
A dance.
And then you have the two groups in a classroom, and that's where, you know, it
yeah,
can create
seriously.
Chaos sometimes.
Like what kind of chaos? For you?
Unfocused experiences of, you know. But as a teacher, you have to kind of guide that too.
This is your reminder that teachers need to be paid more. This podcast is sponsored by...
Well, society should respect teachers more, I think. I don't see...
Respect don't pay the bills. No, but really need to respect you guys more, but also, invest in y'all more. Because that's... You're keeping us out of jail.
There are more teachers who want to teach you and guide you and be there for you than there are teachers who don't. There are teachers who don't care. That's true. When I first went back to school, I went to Baruch College in New York. Baruch.
Oh.
I love that college, actually. But anyway, that's another story. But I took an education course there. And then I went to Columbia, though, Teachers College, and there were like-minded people there, and everyone that I went to school with there wanted to be a teacher. I think, you know, you just have to find the right group of people, I guess, too, because Baruch College really wasn't an education school, a school about studying for education.
Oh.
You know, like, I know TCNJ is a good place to go. Rutgers is a wonderful place to go, and I know that because my colleague was a student teacher for me from there. I had to participate in the programs there while she was under my tutelage. And,
tutelage.
And I loved those meetings, and I liked the people who wanted to be teachers. They were there for the right reasons, you know. And I felt like that education was more rigorous than Columbia.
Mm.
And I told them that I said, you guys are doing a great job here, and the way you're training your teachers is wonderful. I felt like Columbia University kind of let us down in many ways because they were writing on the name.
Oh, for sure. I have friends who are at grad school there and feel that same way.
Yeah, and that, you know, that bothered me.
Yeah, shout out to Rutgers. I have a lot of friends who went to Rutgers, and there's something about, like, being there and, like, the New Jersey of it all and the esteemed institution. Like, there are some amazing people who go there and work there, and they're not, like, always riding on the name. They're, riding on, like, the grit. Shout out to Rutgers, yeah.
When I left Columbia, you have to do an exit interview. And so I told them, I said, look, I don't think you trained me very well to go into the real world. My training here was very unrealistic. And I said, I'm going to come back here in a year, and I'm going to show you what kind of a program you need to create. And I did that. And so I worked with Dr. John Fanslow, and created a new teacher program that went into the schools. The professors came to our schools, and we started a program that I worked on for 8 years while in New York. And they still use it today. So I'm proud of
Are
that.
Are you getting royalties from this? Like,
no, I'm not getting any royalties.
That is amazing, Ted. Yeah. That's like just a true indicator of your passion. And it's cool that they were open to you doing that.
Yes, they are. They want leaders is what they do. You know, so they were, they weren't upset by what I said. They said, okay, good. We'll look forward to seeing you. And when I came back, they were there. They helped me. They, you know, they gave me the student teachers I needed, everything.
See, that's such a cool thing about colleges and institutions is that it's kind of all in the grab bag, like, all at your disposal.
Right. And the superintendent at that time of New York City was right behind it, and he loved what we were doing.
You know, so cool. Yeah. What year was that?
That was 1994,
95. Yeah. Wow. So cool.
Started in 94, I think.
Legend.
Yeah.
I'm sitting next to a legend.
No.
Yes. No. I'm going to get my teacher friends here to just bow down to you.
No.
But that's so cool. What do you wish you could tell your 17-year-old self about college?
I guess, if anything, I don't have any regrets, you know, the way it happened for me. I had to figure it all out as I went step by step. I made lots of mistakes. You know, I had a full scholarship that I didn't really understand was a full scholarship because reading all that financial aid stuff was so confusing and I had no one to guide me and stuff like that. So I guess I would just say settle down and read what's here and trust yourself, because I didn't trust my own abilities and my own value. That's, when you're young, you're not sure that anything.
I still think it's shocking that like we as 17, 18 year olds are expected to like deal with that financial aid stuff and like the loans, and you don't actually understand how much college costs.
And also, and ask for help. That's the other thing too, like we talked about before, but ask for help. And so like I work with seniors right now because they ask for help, and I tell them all the time, you got to ask me, I'll help you with anything. I help them understand their transcripts. I help them understand the financial aid process. I help them understand the language. I help them understand what the state's going to give them just if they fill out the FAFSA, you know, and then how they have to apply for other things, you know. So I didn't know anything about that.
No.
You can get a ping pong scholarship. Did you know that? A ping pong scholarship.
You can get I remember people talking about the left-handed scholarship.
Yeah. A cheerleading scholarship.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
You could have been rolling in it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I know.
I was a high school cheerleader, you know? And I was like good at it. I loved it. It was so exciting.
Yeah, I feel so, like, ugh.
If somebody would have given me a cheerleading scholarship, I would have been, yeah! And I would have made up a cheer.
Rah. Yeah. But yeah, we had no idea. You had no idea. And that's like a really common thing.
Yeah.
Thank God we have you out here helping your seniors. I want to talk to Ted's seniors about community college because I went to community college. And I think it's so great. And some people in our high school and parents poo-poo it. Yeah, they poo-poo it.
Yeah, they get so upset. Like, my child's not going to go there. I'm like, yes, it's a good thing for them, for this person and for you, especially if it's if a student does not know what they want. Come on. They need more time.
Come on. They do. They're literally 18. Oh, God. I'm so glad I didn't go off to school at 18.
I remember my niece moved here to live with us when she was 18. And she's like, you know, I feel like my life is, I'm losing touch with my life because I'm not going in the direction I want to. And you know, I'm getting older. I'm like, just calm down. You're not older. You know,
I need cane.
You're going to take your time and you're going to go to a community college. You're going to get your, a scholarship and go to a 4-year college. And then you're going to be fine. And that's exactly what happened to her. And, you know, today she's doing great, you know. But
thriving.
She was so afraid at 18, and everybody's afraid at 18.
I was like, this is the end of my life. I'm a failure. I felt the same thing. I was like, I'm so old, and now I can't try again. I remember crying in the Brookdale parking lot the day that everyone was going to, like, some other, like, college talk, and I had to go for, like, the orientation talk, and I was like, this is so embarrassing. I was so embarrassed and so, like, ashamed of myself for not trying harder, and I thought I was just making the... I was
comparing
just a
yourself to others.
All the kids in my grade who were going to, you know, like really nice colleges, because in our school, like that was such a thing and such a goal. Like, you know, people going to NYU, Fordham, GW, really expensive schools. That's the only thing now. I think I was just like, wow, they're all so much smarter than me, and I'm
that means so
I'm
much,
gross. Like I literally felt gross, and like I'm like, wow, I'm still gonna be living with my parents, and I have to drive to this school, and no one cares. No, I soon realized that it was the best decision I ever made, but it was hard.
Another thing, all those colleges, they want you to apply. Some kids, my son, I think, applied to 16.
Oh
$80 a pop. $80 a pop. You know how much money those schools made from all the kids? It's a scam. College is a scam.
That's
another reason why going to Brookdale is better. Going to a community college. I mean, it's like, come on.
It's just like you have to swallow your pride.
Yeah.
And it's easier said than done because 18-year-old me was so embarrassed. I remember we had those days in high school where you had to like wear your college shirt. Like the seniors had to wear their college shirt and I would cry. Like I was so embarrassed.
I'm going to go get some Brookdale shirts and wear them on that day. That would be a good idea, right?
Yes! Yeah. Wait, yes! Because
I don't want those kids to feel that way.
If you're one of those kids who's like the valedictorian of your high school, but then you go to a Harvard and you realize there's hundreds of you, that's an identity crisis waiting to happen.
Yeah.
However, if you go to a perhaps less challenging school, or you go to a Brookdale where people have their own things going on and it's not just like pedal to the metal, like you're all like sharks eating each other, then you have a little more space to breathe and like actually connect with your professors. I my first 2 years of college, like I had the best relationships with my professors and actually felt so cared about, as opposed to when I went to a bigger institution after. But yeah, it's like you go and you realize you're not the special valedictorian anymore.
Right.
And you feel lost and kids get really depressed. And then they're also moving away from home for the first time. It's a recipe for disaster.
Yes,
all this drinking and drug use too.
Yeah.
So you have that. You have living on your own for the first time. You have the crazy academic pressure. I'm sorry. Not for me. And there's no shame in needing to transfer or take a break. There's literally no shame. So many of my friends, so many people after we, went away, I was like, okay, waiting for them to all come back now, like waiting for them to transfer.
One thing I want to say too is at every school, there are teachers who want to help. It's up to you to actually ask the questions though. And that can be
hard.
And show your face. But it's so important. Oh my God, you got to start fighting for yourself, and asking questions and just asking for help and,
showing them that you're a person and not just like in the sea of, which can be really hard at a bigger school too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, I do not miss the PACE financial aid office. You just feel like a number.
Number, yeah.
You feel meaningless.
That's what you are, is a number. You become a number.
Yeah. And that kind of poises you for your career.
So if you don't speak up for yourself, you're a number. But if you speak up for yourself, people get to know you.
They're like, oh, that's Ted.
Yeah.
That's the curly guy. That's the nice blah, blah, blah. Oh, she, just like tell them a little bit more about yourself. And that's, I mean, that's a skill in itself. Along with the, what would you tell your 17-year-old self about college? I also listed 14-year-old self and 5-year-old self. Because I swear to God, I would tell my 5-year-old self, learn calculus.
Really? Why?
And like learn SAT things. Like I would start young.
No.
Because it's literally so basic, but it's so hard. But it's so basic.
No.
I would tell my 5-year-old self to start learning math.
If you like find SAT. It fun, I guess. But I think you need to just enjoy yourself when you're 5 years old.
Well, fine.
Maybe read.
7, 8-year-old self.
Read and find, become a good reader just so that you could have adventures. Or read about other people's adventures and live vicariously through them. That's a good thing, but
I mean, it's partially a joke, but really, like the type of anxiety that 16, 17-year-old me had taking the SATs especially the math part, because I was like, I've never, this is disgusting.
Fuck that shit. I'm sorry for saying that. I don't like to curse really.
Fuck
but
that shit.
I think fuck that shit.
I agree with you.
And
you're
right.
And
that's one good thing about COVID is kids don't have to be taking those tests. Well, they're so starting to take that up again, but that stuff is a bunch of bullshit. I'm sorry. It's,
you know,
social bullshit.
That's kind of, you could just,
sorry.
You could see, don't be sorry, you're right. Because you
testing
actually,
makes me angry.
You could see even in the fact that I wrote that down, my socialization.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm like surrendering to it, which, yeah, I had
so
to.
So just have
I
fun
to
when
take
you're
it.
Five. Have fun when you're five, even 14.
Fine.
You know, do
I
best
did. I
school.
Had so much fun, Ted.
Oh, good.
You know I did.
Yeah, I saw the videos.
I wasn't doing work. Oh,
yeah.
God. Man, yeah, you saw right here just how I'm socialized. But, I mean, I didn't have really a choice to not take the SAT. So it would have made it, like, easier for me if I practiced. I remember being disgustingly jealous of my friends who in seventh grade, so it's Adrian and Natalie, shout out to you. Love you both so much. And we're like 12, 13, and Adrian's like, or maybe her mom's like, okay, we've got to get to bed now. Like, Adrian's got the SAT tomorrow.
She's in seventh grade?
And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
But then I remember being 17 and being like, fuck, I wish I got that over with in seventh grade. But this is the indicator of
a
broken system.
Yeah. Right, that
that's
was just
not
the beginning
okay
for them. And did they enjoy that kind of stuff? I mean, I don't know.
Probably not. You're just doing it because we live in a world. We live in a society. We live in a society. And even I remember my psychology professor asking us, like, why are you here? And, like, do you think you're here because you want to be here? And then some girl stood up and she's like, yeah. And she was like, and then my professor, like, whittled it down to, like, no, it's a societal expectation. Like, and you're here because you have to be if you don't get that degree sometimes. But which isn't always true. We've seen with Ted's brother. But for the majority of us, like, it just seems like the only way.
One of my seniors just asked, I'm helping him write his essay for college. And he's writing about his grandfather. And his grandfather lived in Colombia and loved animals and became a vet. He never went to school. He graduated.
Yes.
He only went up to fifth grade. But he became a vet because he worked with animals and he got to know them so well. And then his brother actually ended up going to school and got some formal schooling. And so whenever he needed some kind of advice, he would go to his brother. But this guy had a veterinary clinic for years until he died. He never went to school, but he had the passion, and he had the attention span, and he had the ability to think like every one of you and like every one of us. We have the ability to do what we want if we put our minds to it. And college is not a bad thing. I'm not saying...
Agreed.
Because when I went back to school after 15 years being away from it, I loved it. But right out of high school, it didn't mean as much to me. You know, and I did go. I did go right after high school, but it just didn't have. I had other things I wanted to do. You know, and but I loved it when I went back.
I know it's like it's really hard for me because I have such complicated feelings about college. Because I sit here and say it is a scam, and I do believe that. But I'm also like I went, and I loved it because of connections. Like I do think the biggest thing about college is the connections.
The connections, networking. It's amazing. Yeah.
Like, that's the main...
Meeting the people who have the same passions of you as you and stuff like that, that's what's really great. You know, and if you have great professors on top of it, then that's wonderful.
It is. And so it's hard to say, to just flat out say college is a scam or, like, to tell a kid, like, don't 100% worry about it. The price is a scam. Yeah, so my next question is, what are your pet peeves about college? The price is mine. I think
it's ridiculous.
Bullshit.
Everybody should have the opportunity to go. In Europe, you know, it's much different. And and kids can go if they work hard, you know, but it's not about money. Here it's all about money, money, money. Come on. Education should not be about money. Education is the great equalizer.
The great equalizer of man. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's supposed to be. We're taught that we live in a meritocracy. It's not It's not true. It's more like a...
one percentile.
Like a gyrocracy.
Blah, 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 photocracy.
What do you like about college?
Well, like the networking is, that's really great.
Me too. I like the clubs.
Yeah. Her campus. Clubs are good too, actually. Yeah, that's great. But you also, the certain, I mean, when you're more mature, like as I was, I was able to recognize where my strengths were, you know, and college can do that for you too. You could do that in high school too. Like I love math. I was really good at math in high school, but I didn't know the opportunities that were out there for mathematicians there's so many out there today. So, you know, there's lots of possibilities. So that's another thing. While you're in high school, investigate what careers there are in a field that you like if you like math, you know, if I would have done that, I might've been something else. Although I was starting out to be a math teacher. That's what my
goal was. Oh, yeah. Little that's what I went to Columbia for. Oh, my God. Oh, math.
Mm-hmm.
That's like Sevda is a math teacher now, and she's actually going to take some of us in to talk to her kids about our current careers and versus our college majors and show how, you know, it's just like a vessel to get where you want to be. And just because you choose, like, English major or psychology major doesn't mean you're like tied in to doing that. It's just like no one really cares about you now. People are talking about being a multi-hyphenate in this generation, which is so cool. So it's like you're a tap dancer, psychologist, painter, which is accountant.
Yeah.
And like that is that I love that about what's happening now. That seems more possible, and that's my dream to be like a bunch of different things.
I did so many different things, and that's partly because, you know, I was an actor and a dancer, and so I had to make money other places, but I had so many different kinds of experiences and jobs, and I just think that was great. I loved it. You know, now I've been a teacher for 27 years.
Damn.
Oh my God.
Damn.
I taught in New York for a while, and I taught, you know.
Got little flavors.
Yeah, I had little flavors here and there. But I've been now at this school in the, for 20 years.
Now you're dabbling in the internet community.
Yes.
in the Google Classroom.
And I'm dancing while
medium.
I'm saying. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. Oh, my God.
No.
I would still call you a multi-hyphenate. And also, I'm just really excited to see the amazing things you do after retirement. Oh, this kind of segues into our next question. Do you want to do more college?
Yes, I do.
What kind
there's a part of
more?
Me that wants to get my doctorate.
In what?
I think psychology. I don't know. Social work, something like that, maybe. I'm not sure.
I want to do more college. And would maybe like want to go to grad school for social work, but also would want to go for like an MFA in writing. So who knows?
Ooh, yeah.
But before that, I'm just trying to write anyway. And you know.
Cool.
But yeah, it's nice to just think like, ooh, the option's always there. But I would love to find a job that like pays for my master's, you know? Like some social work things do that. So I'm actually gonna talk to some professors because networking is everything and they know better than me what you know, programs are out there.
You could probably do some kind of social work at this college you want to teach at or go to school to.
Like work in the like counseling.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I need a taste of it for sure. What would you change about your college experience?
I don't think I would change anything. Actually, it wasn't, you know, the normal
traditional,
you know, path at all. But I don't think I would change any of it.
Nice.
I started off. One direction. And, you know, I learned from that. So if I changed it,
you wouldn't
I would be missing something.
I agree. I wouldn't change anything about my college path, I don't think. I'm really happy I'm not in debt.
Yeah.
And I really felt insecure. Like, I let the name thing get to me even after I transferred from Brookdale. I remember saying, like, I wanted a t-shirt that said, like, I got into Fordham. I got into Sarah Lawrence. But I just chose Pace because I can afford it, because I was so, like, insecure and wanted to prove something.
Well, in a way, I kind of did that too. That's why I went to Columbia, I guess, too, because I thought I never
was
smart
enough. Yeah, and I still
want
to do something like that.
Yeah. So going to Columbia proved to me that I was smart enough, but, you know, the caliber of student there was wonderful. I loved it. I met such wonderful people there. But the school itself was not what everyone thinks it is. You know, I can say Columbia and be like, whoa, Columbia. I'm thinking, yeah, right. If you only knew.
If you only knew. Seriously. It's yeah. just a name.
Yes.
But the people do make it really special. That is true.
Yeah.
And
so networking and meeting friends there, it's really important.
Yeah, I wouldn't change anything, I think, about the way I networked. I feel really pretty happy with that. I was just trying my best. But, okay, final question. Should we go to culinary school?
Us?
Yes.
You and me?
Yeah.
yeah. Why not?
Okay, great. Clicking the button. The application's been sent.
Uh-oh, you got the application already. Oh, amazing.
Oh, my God. Okay.
We're going to make our own donuts.
It is time for the weird similarity of the week.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah. We don't like when other people are, like, in our kitchen. Like, we get a little... That's the similarity. Like, we get a little tense when people are helping us cook.
Only for me, because, you know, like, I have this whole idea planned out in my head, but I've gotten better at it since...
I remember one time I thought, like, we were going to make banana bread, but then it just turned into me watching you make banana bread. And I could tell, like... That's what it was going to be. I was like, maybe I should. No.
Because I don't know how you share that, I guess. That's the problem. I don't know how to share in the kitchen, I guess. That's my issue.
Same. No, that's our weird similarity. And that's okay, like, because the way we do it is right. And...
Well, not just that, because also, like, kind of we do it our
way. I get
way,
so uptight.
Way. You know, that's like, maybe I don't follow the recipe exactly. If there's a recipe or, you know, I think... When I'm cooking, I think about what tastes good. I'm thinking, because I'm going to add this, or, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do a little bit more of something, or, you know, a little bit less of something, because I think about love,
yeah,
stuff like that. You know, so when somebody else comes in, I'm like, oh, I can't think like that. And so I lose my train of thought, and then I might burn something. I don't know, because we get into conversation or something. I don't know.
So true.
But when you're standing on the other side talking to me, even that, I get a little bit distracted.
I know.
Yeah.
But I love watching it. I can't. That's like the great joy of my life. And I can tell you get distracted. And I'm like...
What am I thinking about?
Yeah, you'll be like talking about something.
Am I cooking? Oh, I am.
No, I get that for sure. I remember Matt and I like tried to... We wanted to make you a charcuterie board.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, so, like, we're in the kitchen, the both of us, and I was like, oh, no, she's coming out. Oh, no. Like, I was like... Cause
you
I
were
was,
nervous?
I was, like, getting uptight. Oh. I was like, it needs to be sliced like this. Like, oh. like he was like...
Because
he
wasn't doing
it your
way.
He was like,
what
could I do? Yeah, and I was like... Oh my God! This is what Amelia has to deal with. I was like making these little sandwiches, and I was like, "How do I translate what needs to be done? I can't. You can't. It's in your mind, unless you
have
symbiosis with someone.
And when you're making one of those, it's very artistic.
Yes. Moving on, Ted's fridge review. An item in Ted's fridge. You act shocked, like I haven't been doing this every week.
Okay.
Bernard's hummus. Today, I will be reviewing Bernard's hummus. A few days ago, Bernard sent me upstairs with some hummus. It was very good. I had a roasted sweet potato, and I dipped it in the hummus.
Ooh, nice.
The thing about Bernard's hummus is that he respects the traditional way of making it, I would say.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't like to put a lot of garlic in it. He told me that.
Yeah.
He was like... I don't even know if there is any garlic. I remember he gave me like a speech, like why he only does a certain amount of garlic. And then he puts water in it to make it nice and creamy. A little paprika.
He takes out that little stem in the middle of the garlic too when he does garlic because he says that causes bad breath. He doesn't want people to walk away with bad breath.
I feel like that's the thing that causes bad breath?
That's what he says he heard from somewhere. I don't
Scientist
know.
Scientist Bernard.
So,
well, it's so that's the mm-hmm. I give it a 10 out of 10 because it's made with love. It's time to just close out the episode, you guys.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. If you're in college right now, I feel for you because COVID college.
I love you guys. I'm sorry, babies.
My last semester of college was over Zoom, and it was really sad and hard. So if you're feeling sad and discouraged, you're not alone.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And you can always go back.
Mm-hmm. Ted did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do it too, probably.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
For liking us of the last couple, or last,
he's
the first
saying
episode.
That with the most like confused facial expression.
Well,
like you're so funny. But yeah, thank you for all the love. And having conversations with Ted is the great joy of my life, and I'm glad I get to share it.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Converse with you too.
Aw, oh, thanks. So you guys, make sure to share this with your friends, rate us, subscribe, and come back for more every Wednesday.
Bye.
Bye.